Hi guys, welcome to Never Too Much True Crime. I'm your host. My name is Amaya. Hi, welcome. I started a new series on my channel where I talk about a new true crime story every week. If you love true crime as much as I do, please continue watching. Before we start this story, I want to ask you guys, how are you doing? How are you holding up? How's life? Let me know in the comment section below. I'm curious to know how other people are living their lives because my life is boring right now. But enough about me, let's get on with this week's case. For this week's case, we're going to be talking about the Richardson family. This story takes place in Medicine Hat, Canada, a nice suburban area where Mark, the father, Deborah, the mom, and the two kids, Jasmine and Jacob, lived. The family seemed very loving and overall great until their daughter, Jasmine, would start to change. Before Jasmine's transformation, she was known as a girly girl who got good grades. Once she started to change, she loved the whole goth aesthetic. She would wear black all the time, just nothing but dark clothing. And everybody started to notice her drastic change. According to her classmates, they were all scared of her. Teachers would complain to her about how she was dressed because she was violating the dress code. You know, when you are a preteen, about to be a teenager, you know, the whole self-discovery era, it can be a very scary thing. You're trying to figure yourself out. Like, who am I? What do I like to do? There's nothing wrong with wanting to explore and get to know who you really are, but unfortunately, Jasmine would take that and literally run with it. You'll understand what I mean as we go on with the story. She would meet 23-year-old Jeremy at a punk rock show, then started dating. Keep this in mind, she was 12 years old at the time and this man was 23. Yes, you heard me, I said 23. This is a grown-ass man. Keep that in mind. So yeah, they started dating, they kept it on the hush-hush, a secret. According to other people, they did not like their relationship. I agree. What do you have in common with a 12-year-old girl? Quickly. Tell me quickly. What do you have in common with a 12-year-old when you're 23? Yeah, that's what I thought. Around this time, her whole energy changed. She became more dark. The more she was involved with this guy, from my perspective, she was losing herself. She didn't know who she was, so she held on to this goth thing to feel like she belonged. Also doing this for her boyfriend's validation. Young girls get preyed on, and it's so common in today's society. But it's still wrong, regardless. The fact that he preyed on this young girl and she's 12 and he's 23, that's a red flag on its own. But who was Jeremy? Jeremy, just like many people in his world, grew up in an abusive household. His mother being an alcoholic, he was also bullied. He didn't have a very good upbringing. Being a high school dropout, he was also interested in everything goth. He wore eyeliner and dark clothing too. The whole bad boy vibe. The way he coped with his trauma was by creating this dark persona. He would call himself a 300-year-old werewolf. Jasmine, she ate that up, okay? She thought that he was just this badass, cool guy. Like, oh my God, you're a 300-year-old werewolf? That's hot. He was often described as wearing a vial of blood around his neck, and some even said that he liked the taste of blood. It's understandable why Jasmine's parents didn't want them together at all. He really had a lot of trauma that he needed to heal from, but instead of trying to heal and do better for himself, all that pain and suffering that he went through, he was just inflicted onto other people. Hurt people, hurt people. And you can't blame parents for wanting to shield or protect their kids, especially if they know the person that you're dating is horrible. A lot of times, people will see things that you might not see. So to you, you might be in love with someone and you think that, oh my God, this person is my world, I can trust them. But a lot of your peers from the outside looking in, they sense something off about the person that you're with. Her parents had a weird vibe about Jeremy anyway, especially about his age. I'm pretty sure that was the number one factor. There was a lot of conflict between Jasmine and the family. They were not getting along at all. Her parents were really concerned about their child, so they took it upon themselves to figure out what was going on with her. That's when they found out about her boyfriend. They tried to put an end to their relationship, doing anything they could so she would stop seeing this man. They would ground her. They told her that, you know, you need to go to school and come back home. You're not allowed to go out. You have to stay home. Jasmine was still stubborn and she still would sneak out of the house and sneak to go see Jeremy. And when she couldn't do that, she would still communicate with him online. They both had an account on the website vampirefreaks.com. When Jeremy found out that Jasmine's parents weren't accepting of him, he made a post about how he wanted to slit their throats. In Jasmine's eyes, Jeremy was just this rock star, this cool person that she just loved so much. But he was a monster who preyed on young girls to manipulate them and use them for his evil ways. Jasmine's behavior would get worse. She liked the fact that people were afraid of her. It gave her power. You know, being in love with Jeremy, he was her top priority at the time. Things between Jasmine and her parents would escalate, so she proposes a plan to Jeremy. I have this plan. It begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you. That's when Jeremy would talk about slitting her parents' throats. He said, "Their throats I want to slit. They will regret the shit they have done. Finally, there shall be silence. Their blood shall be my payment." I don't know if it's just me, but this is giving very much Twilight. Jasmine would go on about how much she hated her family. You know, her family kept her and her man apart. How dare they keep you from seeing a 23-year-old grown-ass man and you were 12? How dare my parents protect me from a predator? But again, she was 12. Your mindset is different when you're 12 years old. You're not really self-aware of certain things yet because you're inexperienced and you don't really know how the world really works, and they're not thinking like, oh my god, this person is a predator or manipulating me. They don't see the world how us adults see the world. On the night of April 22nd, 2006, Jeremy snuck into the Richardson's home with a butcher knife. He was wearing all black, a ski mask covering his face. Mark and Deborah were asleep when a noise woke Deborah up. When Deborah went to see what the noise was about, turning on the light, Jeremy would stab Deborah to death 12 times to be exact. Mark heard Deborah screaming. He runs downstairs to try to fight Jeremy off. Using a screwdriver to fight off their attacker, Mark was also stabbed to death 24 times. Jasmine goes to her brother's room. Jacob was very scared. He goes to hide. Jasmine would go into his room covering his ears. Jeremy comes upstairs to Jacob's room. Jasmine suggested instead of letting her brother live, she's like, no, he has to die. The reason why, because it would be unfair for him to grow up without parents. She ends up stabbing her brother 5 times and Jacob's throat would be slit. Just evil all the way around. Like, how could you possibly think that it's okay to kill your own little brother, to kill your family? Like, that is insane to me, and that is heartbreaking. Like, why would you think to do that? But again, she was 12. She was being manipulated. He was whispering in her ear, you know. She's like, oh, I hate my family. I want to get rid of them. And then this happens. The following day, Jacob's 6-year-old friend came by the house, hoping that he could play with Jacob. When he looked through the window and saw the bodies of Mark and Deborah, 911 was called. The bodies of Mark, 42, and Deborah, 48, were found. And Jacob's body was also found when they were searching for evidence when they went upstairs. When they were searching for evidence, police noticed a family portrait. The portrait had Mark, Deborah, Jacob, and Jasmine. Police immediately knew they were missing a family member. They thought Jasmine was kidnapped and someone else murdered her family, right? Wrong. Investigators didn't think Jasmine had anything to do with the murders until they start searching through her emails and locker at school. They searched her locker. In the locker, they found a stick figure drawing of a girl lighting a house on fire with her family inside and running to her boyfriend's truck. In one of her emails, she was explaining to Jeremy that she had a plan to kill them. That was all the evidence that investigators needed at that time. This gave investigators more insight of the case. She was immediately turned from a missing person to a murder suspect. While this is happening, police start searching for Jeremy and Jasmine. They were able to find them within the first 24 hours. Police found them very quickly. They were in the community of Leader, only about 130 kilometers away from their hometown. Both were then charged with 3 murders. 11 days later, police charged Jeremy's friend, 19-year-old Casey Lancaster, for being an accessory, as she had driven them out of Medicine Hat and helped them destroy evidence. Jasmine and Jeremy had no remorse for the crimes whatsoever. Jeremy even bragged about the murders. Jasmine's trial began in June of the following year. The question that was asked was, why would she kill her family? Her response was love, her love for Jeremy. She was so in love with this man that she was willing to kill her family. She thought by doing this would bring them closer together, which I find that to be very interesting, because how would murdering somebody bring you guys closer together? While in jail, they would even send love letters to each other, exchanging their love for one another and how much they just absolutely adored each other. Jeremy asked Jasmine to marry him and she said yes. unbelievable. But we have to talk about how she was groomed. She was young. She was only 12 years old. She had issues with herself, you know, self-identity problems. He fueled her anger. And I don't think necessarily she was mad at her parents or hated her parents. I think she hated herself. And she projected her hatred for herself of not knowing who she was and projecting it onto her parents. He did not love her. He loved having power over her. Anything that he said, she did, and vice versa. It was not love at all. This was a horrible situation. Now that she's older, I hope she understands what she did was wrong, and I hope that she regrets it deeply. In 2007, during Jasmine's testimony, she explained that she was joking about murdering her family and that Jeremy took it seriously. She didn't think they would actually go through with the plan at all, and she says other nonsense. You get the point. She even explained that when she went upstairs to cover Jacob's ears, her little brother, Jeremy yelled at her and told her to kill him when he came upstairs. She felt like she had no other choice but to kill her brother. July 10th, 2007, she was found guilty for all three counts. She gets sentenced to, 10 years. By the Youth Criminal Justice Act in Canada, she was not able to be charged as an adult for her crimes. 4 out of the 10 years, she was spent in a psychiatric facility. Jeremy's trial was December of 2008. He was guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder, 3 life sentences. He would be eligible for parole after serving 25 years of his sentence. Jeremy changed his name to Jackson May, trying to appeal his case. It was rejected. In 2015, Jasmine would be released at the age of 23. If Jasmine keeps a low profile, then her criminal record would be erased completely. She would be Canada's youngest convicted murderer at the age of 12. There was an article that I've read. I don't know how accurate it is, but in this article or something like that along the lines, Jasmine did say that she had remorse for what she has done. Other than that, I don't really know nothing about her whereabouts. She's keeping a low profile, but she's free. She's walking free. This is a very common thing that happens in society, and I feel like it's very normalized. There's a lot of predators out in this world that prey on young girls and manipulate them to get them to do things that they want them to do. I think this topic needs to be talked about a lot more. It's more common than you think. A lot of us even have predators in our families, our uncles, aunts, cousins, all of that. If I could find any resources and put them in the description box below, just in case if any of my viewers are going through something similar where you're 12, you're 13, 14, 15, 16, and you're with a 30-year-old or someone who is grown, I'm here to tell you that you're being groomed and you need to get help. You need to have a solid, loving support system to get you out of this situation, and I wanna help any way that I can. But this case was truly heartbreaking. My heart goes out to the family members that lost their lives on that night. Shame on Jasmine and shame on Jeremy for doing that. That is the most vile thing that you could ever do to a family. And for Jasmine to do that to her own family, shame on her. Yes, she was 12, she was naive, she was stupid in love, but at the same time, that is such a horrible thing to do. I really wished that she could have been trialed as an adult when she got older and charged for first degree murder, but that's just me. I don't know how the laws in Canada work. So yeah, it just sucks that she's still walking free. And that's it for this week's Never Too Much True Crime. Thank you guys for supporting me and listening to me as always. I hope you guys are being safe. I hope you guys are okay and doing well. This has been a rough year for everybody. I hope you can take a breather and really just, you know, because life is stressful. And let me know what you guys think. I always love reading comments about you guys' theories and what you guys think and come up with. It's very interesting to read. I'll see you again next week with a brand new Never Too Much True Crime story. And peace out, guys.